And the first person I'm going to call on tonight is a gentleman I met some 24 hours ago. I know for sure it was the fourth meeting I attended in Alcoholics Anonymous. I arrived in Lumister with my sponsor, Bob. He introduced me to this gentleman, and he said the things to me I always wanted to hear. He told me, you know, stick with this guy you're with. A 10 AA meeting. Sit down and keep your mouth shut and your ears open. And try and go outside yourself and ask for help. And I went back to Lumister many, many Monday nights. And I always got a good handshake, a smile, and a lot of encouragement. And I'd like to open this meeting up with Shine, please.
My name is Shine, and I'm a rubber leg drunk from North Worcester County, and I am an alcoholic. And I'd like to open by congratulating the group on their 8th anniversary. And Dick said it was a privilege to be here. I want to also thank Dick and Eddie for asking me to speak here tonight. For I feel it's not only a privilege to be here, it's an honor to speak at AA. For so many times I hear people say, we've got good speakers tonight. I don't give a damn who you are or where you come from. If you speak at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and you only say your name, you are a good speaker in my book. It makes no difference where we come from. For the road I travel as a drunk is a price that I had to pay for this 24 hours of sobriety that I am enjoying today. I gave my wife a hell of a mental beating for the first 15 years of our married life. Booze knocked me down as hard as I want to be knocked down from booze. I was only arrested 14 times, drove a few automobiles off of the road, burnt the inside of my father-in-law's home, cheated two children of their childhood life, drove myself in the armed services in 1944 against my wishes, came back a bigger drunk than I went in. I came to the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous the first time in 1948 in the city of Fitchburg at St. George's Hall. Whether I went there to laugh at the people or to scoff at them, it makes no difference. I went. The next time, the first time I had my wife with me, the second time I let her stay home the next Wednesday night. And I was given a book by a drunk who had just gone to his final reward, Aaron Brandt from New Hampshire, and he signed the book, the first edition of Alcoholics Anonymous, Soberly Yours. And he said, Shine, this is for reading. And I knew I wasn't coming back. And the only reason the program did not work for me is I didn't have that small spark of desire that I talk about. Booze had become too important in my life to want to stop drinking. I tucked the book in the closet at home, and it stayed there to gather dust for another 3 years. See, this is the only story I know, because I've been told by some members of Alcoholics Anonymous, Shine, why don't you talk about the program? You have been around long enough. And I tell them to go to hell. I speak the only way I know. And I was also told by a good member of the Pittsburgh group many, many years ago. I said, I've been sober about 6 months. And this Harry M. from Pittsburgh said to me, I said, Harry, I'm awfully tired of telling my story. He says, Shine, you tell it till you up, Chuck. Another good word I found in AA, regurgitate. To the drunks like myself, puke. And I haven't yet. So I'll give you a small bird's eye view of my drunken life and a little bit of what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me. You see, like I say, booze hadn't knocked me down hard enough. And I was only 34 years old. And like all drunks and alcoholics all over the world, feel as though that it's only the skid row people who come to Alcoholics Anonymous. There are thousands and thousands and millions of people who sleep between nice white silk sheets or sanitized sheets or printed sheets that are just as much alcoholic as the unfortunate that sleeps in a packed car or in a depot or any place else. The guy that's out looking for his bottle of wine in the morning is a little more unfortunate. The other fellow may have it right in his home. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous a second time. I was walking the streets of Pittsburgh, April 9, 1952. I was drunk as a skunk and going up one end of the street to the other. I was telling people in bar rooms that I was going to AA, and that I don't remember. But I was told by Billy M. from Pittsburgh after he came a couple of years later that, because he had a drink that afternoon in the depot spa out of my, that's one of our nice joints, used to be there. It's no longer there, it's been taken down. The crummier the joint that I drank in, the more I was at home. I had a pint of wine on my hip. I had holes in my shoes. I had holes all through me. I was a mess. And I staggered into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was drunk as a skunk. And the people there were there to greet me that night. Harry M. was still around, and my old friend Don Costello, who's gone down to New Jersey, who later became my sponsor, said, "We have been waiting for you, Shine. If you can come in and shut your big mouth, don't disturb the meeting, you may stay." And I've been making noise ever since around this program. That night at the meeting, I heard a woman from the city of Worcester say, "If you want to do something about your drinking, tonight is the night to do it." And that's all I remember. I put the floor show on for those people after the meeting. I went over and I poured down the last contents of a pint of wine. And I don't remember. My sponsor said to me, "Shine, you better keep that. I had been drinking for 4 days, and I was a mess." He said, "You'll need that in the morning." And I don't remember telling him, but he told me that I told him I was all done drinking. That night, those people took me downstairs to put me on the bus because I didn't have a dime for the fare in those days from Pittsburgh to Leominster. And I wasn't trustworthy enough to be given the dime in my hand, for across the street was the American House, and they sold Pickwick, which was tasting awfully good when you become a little bit sick physically. And if there's somebody who may be new here tonight, if you try to listen a little bit with an open mind, try to become a little bit honest with yourself, the greatest thing this program has that I know of, this program works. For these very two people that will also speak here tonight, we spoke together 20 years ago in Norton, Mass. And another lady from Garden named Blanche, she also spoke. So you see, I didn't come here to try to set a record for Alcoholics Anonymous. I am sober today. This is the only day that counts. And I'm driving my own automobile tonight. And Chappie's riding with me with his friend Roger. And I may not even get home. And Hockey used to say this many times. "Don't say that at meetings. We may have an accident." Well, I says, "I'll tell Hockey and I'll tell anybody else. I'm more ready to die tonight than the day that I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. But I want to stay on this earth as long as the good Lord wants me to. For I feel as though that God and God alone inspired Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob to commence the greatest movement of the 20th century. The drunken derelict of the world, who nobody wants. If you are still an active alcoholic and you would like to have what you see people here tonight, you have to try." I had my first day, my first week, my first summer in Alcoholics Anonymous. I rode the MTA in Boston. 7 nights a week, I let my wife stay with her sister. I wanted this program. I have worked for this program. There's nothing for nothing in this world. Anything that's good, you must have to work for it. To go back to when I came into this program, and I was drunk as a skunk the second time that I came. Should you go to a meeting and there's an inebriate in the group and he's making noise, somebody should take him by the hand, or if it's a lady, and ladies make noise as drunks too, I know. Take him out and give him a coffee. No meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous should be disturbed because of another active alcoholic. But you don't throw him out. Where else is a drunk going to go? Because in this world, nobody wants a drunk around. Your employer will put up with you. Your family will put up with you. The police will put up with you. But sooner or later, you'll be scooped up, swept down the drain. That's why I'm so strong towards people who want it. Signs on places, anybody with liquor on them is not welcome. Had they told me that, God knows what would have happened to me. The day that I came to Alcoholics Anonymous the second time, I went to General Electric, my place of employment, and I was asking fellas for $20, and I wanted another drink. These fellas used to always loan me 5, 10, or 20, or anything I would ask for. And they told me to go home and sober up, you little drunk. And I got a spit in their face. I hated their guts, but they were telling me the truth. And maybe they helped me to get to the doors of AA. God only knows. But a week went by, and I came again. And I was apologizing to the people. And I can remember so many faces that were there. For one of the first men I met on the outside when I became sober at General Electric was my good friend Chaffee, who was then employed at GE. And I used to make him climb a flight of stairs. I didn't make him. He came upstairs to see me every noon, and he would talk to me. And I didn't know what was up and what was down, and I didn't know which way to go. I should have gone down to him. I was the one that was looking for the help. He came up to see me. God only knows who helped who, but we share together our strength, hope, and experience for this day of recovery. I gave a hell of a mental beating, like I said, to my wife and to my children. Every Christmas, I always made sure I went to the credit union, borrowed a couple of $100, would give my wife $100, keep $100 for Shine, make sure I had enough booze for the weekend, for Christmas and New Year's. And there were never many toys under these Christmas trees, believe me, or many presents, because the old man was a drunk of this world. And every Christmas morning I would cry. Whether there were crocodile tears, it makes no difference. I would cry openly to my wife and children that I was going to change, that I was going to be different. But I had my hand on a bottle of booze, and this change was never coming. I've lived with the same woman now for 36 years. The first 15 years I gave her a hell of a bad time, and I've been making amends ever since. But please don't let me paint the picture to you people that I'm one of the finest guys that ever came down the pike or down Route 2 or any other road. But I tell you, I live a hell of a lot better life than I did as an active alcoholic. This is for me. I go to meetings still. I've done the best that I know how. I make mistakes. You don't hang around this program 20 years and not have enemies. But I didn't come here to become popular with people. I have to try to tell it like it is, like it happens to me. I have my good days and I have my bad days. I have never failed since I come to Alcoholics Anonymous to get down on my knees and ask the God of my understanding for this day of sobriety. This day may be to help some drunk. This day for the privilege of living on the face of this earth. And no matter how long the day may be, 19 hours, 21 hours, 22 hours, I get back down on my knees and I thank God for this day of sobriety. You don't have to do that. You do it your way. Being of Christian faith, it makes no difference if you are Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, or you face the sun. You ask in your own little way for your day of sobriety. Believe in something bigger than the bottle. My life was a total wreck. I didn't plan my life to become a drunk. I was well brought up as a child. But somewhere along the line, I drank very young. I was drunk the first time at 14 years old, and I told my mother I would never drink again. I didn't drink again for 3 years, and I was going to school in the city of Worcester. And I was working for lousy $4 a week in the theater as an usher. And I was looking forward, not to have a couple, but I was looking forward to getting drunk before booze even came back in 1933. In 1931 and 32, I was drinking pitcher beer at Monty's Garden in Leominster at 50 cents or 35 cents a pitcher. Why would a young fellow look forward to get drunk who was well brought up, who had a good mother and a good father and brothers and sisters? I don't know. I wanted to get drunk, and I kept drinking. I married very young, and I was very fortunate. And I say this to the thousands of women who go with their husbands to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, especially when they begin, I tip my hat, to encourage them to come. Do what you can. So many millions of wives want their husbands sober, but But after a point, they're sober 6 months, a year or two or 3 years, then they like their person or their party to be sober under their terms. It don't work that way. I go when I want, where I want, and with who I want. Because, you see, I couldn't deal the cards underneath the table like I did as an active alcoholic. I done a lot of shady and shoddy things as a drunk that I have never mentioned in No Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I feel I drank so many years the way I did, for I was so rotten and ashamed of myself the way I drank, that I hated myself when I shaved, and I hated the bum I look at. I don't admire him today, but I know the way I'm going is a hell of a lot better life than the life that I lived as a drunk. I don't have to drink to live today. I heard so many people, and it's said again tonight, it's the first drink that gets Shine drunk, no matter how many years. I've seen so many people come to AA in our vicinity. For I feel as though now that Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob have gone to their final reward and there are over 500,000 or 600,000, they can't get an honest count of the people in AA. It's impossible. But we know there are many. There are a lot more than when I came. So many new faces that God and God alone inspired these two people. And had they stayed on their dead butt in Akron, Ohio, where would this little drunk be tonight? Or had been the last 20 years? I've used the word 20 years a lot. I'm not bragging about my sobriety. I'm just trying to tell. These people are on the stage, I think, tonight, not including Dick's amount of years, but there's 70 years of sobriety, one day at a time, consecutively. Because in the big book it tells, in chapter 5, how this program works, it says, rarely have we seen anyone, the key words of the next sentence, who thoroughly follows our path, those 12 suggested steps. And when I took the fourth step, my good sponsor said to me, Shine, I know you, I drank with you, and we sat down together. And we began to take my inventory together. And that lift went up one side of the arm and down the other. But when I took the fourth and fifth step together, there was a change in this little rascal. I'm positive that something came over me, that I wasn't the same guy anymore. Because I know today, and I've known for a long time, that I couldn't do the rotten things that I used to do and remain sober. Because there's something inside of me that tells me when I'm going off color, or when I'm about to do something that isn't right in this world. I'm not a goody-goody, and I'm not sprouting wings, and I haven't got a halo. But there's something that churns within me, whether it's my heart, whether it's my conscience. There's something in there. Shine, you know you're not supposed to do that. Why don't you try to be decent? I've learned to live with people. I couldn't live with people as an active alcoholic. Everybody was wrong, and I was the only one that was right. I get tossed out of bounds time after time. When you only got about $1.60 in your pocket and you haven't been home since Friday night and it's Monday morning and you're walking the streets of Pittsburgh and you go to open the door to a bar room and the bartender puts his foot and he says, Shine, we had enough of you over the weekend. Go down to the next joint. I got a lousy record as a drunk. But all this came to change because I became willing. And you have to be willing. No policeman brought me here tonight. And nobody brought me to my meetings when I went from Fitchburg or Lemus or any place else. I go because I want them. I go because I need them. I will need AA till my last dying breath. And this I know. And the only time we will know, or I will know, if I have been successful in this program, is if I die in sobriety. So many times as an active alcoholic, I wanted to die. I prayed to die because I slept on the couch. I wasn't allowed in the master's bedroom. I sleep in the master's bedroom now. Not that it does me a hell of a lot of good at 57, but it's a hell of a lot better life there than it was the way I used to be. This is a good way and a good life. But I wasn't an elderly man when I came here. I was 37. I've lived these 20 years with my wife and our children. And I have a granddaughter to be proud of today. Something to go and hold on to. I couldn't even caress my children as a drunk. I didn't have time for them. Downtown. I had to go downtown have a little more Kruger and a little Green River. And this was a rotten life. But it was the only life that I knew. In those days, Green River was 20 cents a shot. And they tell me today you can't buy a beer and a shot for less than a buck. I didn't come here to get a new $100 suit, like Jimmy Logan would say. I came here because I know this is where I belong. I love Alcoholics Anonymous and the people in it. This is a good way. I don't have to drink to live. I don't sleep on the kitchen floor anymore. I don't sleep out in the shed. It took me 4 years of steady employment to pay the back bill that I had contracted as a drunk. But a good friend of mine told me, my sponsor said, Shine, even if you only work 40 hours a week, in due time, you will come over the hump. You'll pay your bill. Because when you get physically tired, you get mentally tired, and you get thinking, and you get drinking. And that I didn't want. And I listened to the people who were here before me. And little by little, I paid my bills. I'd go to a bar room in Pittsburgh and I'd pay $2 on the bill. And after I came 6 consecutive Friday nights, the bartender said, Shine, we know where you're going. The bill is clean. Don't come back. They didn't love me in drinking in bar rooms. I don't know why. I used to think I was the life of the party. But I was a plain jackass. When you get on the bar and you stop tap dancing on the bartenders don't like it. When I used to go to Boston to get away from the Pittsburgh and limits of people, because I didn't want to know what kind of a drunk that I was becoming. I didn't want them to see it, so I'd take the train and go to Boston. And when you're down the South Station directing traffic, they don't like a little guy that weighs 120 pounds directing traffic. I don't direct traffic anymore. I haven't lost my license since I've come to AA. I've hardly had to show it. I attend church every Sunday because I want to. I used to go to church as an active drunk, and I used to cry in church. Ask God to help me to stop from drinking. I'd walk right out of church and go up the street and get drunk. Whether my tears were crocodile tears, it's not important. What is important, somewhere along the line, somebody said something, or I reached the bottom of the barrel deep enough for me, that I wanted sobriety. Sobriety is an unmerited gift to a drunk like myself. 24 hours of sobriety. One day without one drink. I'm here tonight because people like you carry the message to a drunk like me that I may survive. And I like to close with marvelous words from a woman that I used to admire so much. And she's gone to a final reward also. My good friend Alice Shea from Maynard, who used to say, don't be afraid to get down on your knees to ask God to help you to get on your feet. Thank you.
Thank you, Shine. Shine mentioned being one drink away from a drunk. You know, that's a common denominator we have in Alcoholics Anonymous, whether we've been here one day or 6 months or 6 years. And I'm glad it is that way. You know, I'm glad I identified with the people that came before me. The three speakers tonight were coming to this program just about the time I was starting to drink. Makes no difference. I identified with them when they talked.